Welcome to the KMUD Weekend News. I'm your news director, April Lewis, and I'm glad to be with you for this broadcast. In this episode, we have stories on the Humboldt County Planning Commission meeting on the old growth tree in Redway and this week's KMUD News Sports Report. But first, some local headlines and alerts. This is KMUD News. Starting off, this evening, Friday, June 19th, there are red flag alerts for wildfire danger in Northern Trinity and Humboldt counties until 7 p.m. The red flag alert is due to active thunderstorms in these areas, including the risk of hail and lightning. Many residents have experienced intermittent thunderstorms today. Next, two pieces of local cannabis news. We want to let listeners know that the California Department of Cannabis Control, also known as the DCC, is hosting an in-person listening session at the Mateel Center on Wednesday, June 24th at 3 p.m. Participants will be able to ask questions of the DCC directly. In this time of flux in the cannabis marketplace, we highly encourage all growers to attend. Again, the DCC's in-person public meeting at the Mateel Center in Redway to discuss future regulatory changes in the cannabis marketplace will be on Wednesday, June 24th at 3 p.m. We highly encourage the entire community to attend and to ask pointed questions of our cannabis regulators. In related news, many listeners may know about the black helicopter that has been flying around southern Humboldt, conducting marijuana enforcement operations, including in a video on our social media pages. KMUD News is in contact with the organization funding the helicopter, the Northern California Coalition to Safeguard Communities, to try and get an on-air interview. That organization is funded by Howard Buffett, son of multi-billionaire Warren Buffett. While confirmed to carry Humboldt County Sheriff's Office deputies when doing enforcement operations in Humboldt County, the chopper is currently registered to the Butte County Sheriff's Department, but is owned outright by the Northern California Coalition to Safeguard Communities. Four counties are currently able to utilize the chopper for enforcement activity. If you would like to track the helicopter that the Humboldt County Sheriff's Department is using for cannabis enforcement, including hovering above farms with DCC licensing, here is that info. The tail number for the black helicopter over southern Humboldt is N487HB. Again, that helicopter tail number for tracking cannabis enforcement activity by the Humboldt County Sheriff's Office is N487HB. In Del Norte County, we have an update from the California Department of Fish and Wildlife Office of Spill Prevention and Response. OSPR and the US EPA continue to oversee cleanup of the Smith River east of Crescent City, where an overturned truck carrying asphalt binder impacted the waterway. Cleanup is ongoing, and crews have collected 3,778 pounds of material so far. Terrain is extremely steep in the impacted area, and crews are using slides to recover the spilled product. At this time, no product has been observed in the river 1 mile downstream of the incident. In Mendocino County, on the afternoon of June 17th, Mendocino County Sheriff's Office deputies were dispatched to a residence in the 30,500 block of Highway 20 in Fort Bragg, regarding a report of a missing 10-year-old boy. The child was reported as being nonverbal due to severe autism. Responding deputies contacted family members and learned the child was last seen running towards a heavily wooded area north of the residence. Based on the circumstances and the child's individual needs, deputies determined he was at risk and immediately initiated a search of the surrounding area with assistance from family members in the Fort Bragg Fire Department. Mendocino County Sheriff's search and rescue volunteers were requested and responded to the area to assist. Approximately 16 members of the search and rescue team conducted search efforts throughout the night. Several clues were located that helped define search areas. However, the child was not immediately found. The California Office of Emergency Services was contacted, and mutual aid was requested from outside search and rescue agencies. In the early morning hours of June 18th, approximately 75 additional searchers arrived and were assigned search areas based on information gathered during the initial operations. At approximately 8:35 a.m., a search and rescue team utilizing electric mountain bikes located the child sleeping in a small, abandoned shack approximately 1 mile from the residence. The child appeared uninjured, was reunited with his family, and was transported by ambulance to a local hospital for a precautionary medical evaluation. The Mendocino County Sheriff's Office would also like to thank Harvest Market in Fort Bragg for its generous donation of deli sandwiches to support the search volunteers. In national news with local impacts, the Supreme Court has unanimously upheld the constitutional rights of cannabis consumers to legally possess firearms. In its ruling on Thursday, June 18th, in United States v. Jemeni, the court determined that efforts by the federal government to categorically ban firearm ownership for individuals with a history of marijuana use violates the Second Amendment. Good news indeed. And next, in-depth coverage from our news team. This is KMUD News. Following the controversial removal of 4 old-growth redwood trees from a Lower Redway residential property, a 5th tree has been saved by the Humboldt County Planning Commission. Daniel Mintz reports.
Following the controversial removal of 4 old-growth redwood trees from a Lower Redway residential property, a 5th tree has been saved by the Humboldt County Planning Commission, for now. A June 18th commission hearing ended with the commission unanimously voting to deny a tree removal permit to the property owner and permit applicant, Robert Scarlett. Citing a lack of evidence that the tree poses an imminent hazard, commissioners voted to deny the permit, but said an application can be resubmitted with better proof of the hazard claim. Otherwise, they sided with scores of public speakers who traveled to Eureka from southern Humboldt to urge the commission to spare the tree. Scarlett became an enemy of the community when he cut down 4 old-growth redwoods on his Oak Ridge Drive property early this year. He should have sought a permit from the county to do it, but instead got the go-ahead from CAL FIRE, as he was directed to do by the county's planning department. It was a flub, as an initial determination that CAL FIRE's authority superseded the county's was deemed wrong after controversy erupted. That sets the stage for the hearing that would decide the fate of the 5th tree. As noted by Tonya Farmer, Scarlett's attorney, the agendized staff recommendation was to approve the permit. As a CAL FIRE forester and 2 others, one contracted by Scarlett, and another certified by the International Society of Arborists, or ISA, flagged several dangers. She said Scarlett would open himself to legal risk if he didn't act on that.
All of those independent reviews point in the same direction. The evidence before the committee establishes that the tree is within striking distance of residences, roadways, utilities, infrastructure, and public areas. Both the registered professional forester and the ISA certified arborist concluded the tree contains significant structural defects and presents a hazard. Under those circumstances, Mr. Scarlett faces potential civil liability if he fails to take reasonable steps to address the hazard condition on his property and if damages result. The question before the commission is not whether anyone values old growth redwoods. It is whether the property owner, faced with professional opinions identifying a hazardous tree, acted reasonably in seeking permission to remove it, and he did. The record demonstrates he did.
Senior planner Cliff Johnson highlighted those foresters' reports, but noted that 3 others from a registered professional forester and 2 ISA-certified arborists contest the hazard claims. The commission's skepticism about the hazard claims was evident early on, as commission chair Sarah West noted a lack of photographic evidence to support them. The Scarlet property is within a county-designated qualifying zone known as a Q zone, which sets area-specific standards and regulations. In this case, the cutting of old-growth trees is prohibited unless they pose imminent danger. A mass of public comment raised suspicions of profit motive. David Walsh, one of Scarlet's neighbors, noted a circumstance that has sparked a lot of suspicion, that Scarlet is a CAL FIRE employee. He said, quote, "The legality of the CAL FIRE employee writing an exemption for another CAL FIRE employee in a clearly protected area has not been resolved." Edersburg resident Amy Gustin said, quote, "The tree and the trees that were cut were priceless and are priceless, but dead trees are worth a lot of money, and I'd like to just remind everybody that people can be swayed by money." Tom Hiller, who owns a home in the Q Zone, described himself as a property rights advocate, but he said property rights have limits and compared the tree removals to robbery.
"Not all property comes with the same bundle of rights. These properties have an ordinance that restricts the cutting of these redwood trees. So that is not a private property right that exists on these particular parcels. So let's have a little bit of fun. I'm going to use an analogy that kind of describes how we got where we are right now. In the dead of winter, the applicant snuck into the bank. The guards at the bank were asleep. He grabbed four big bags of cash and walked out of the bank because nobody was there to stop it. Now, in the light of springtime, the guards are awake. They know what they're supposed to be doing, and yet the applicant is asking that he be allowed to go back in the bank and grab that one last bag of cash."
Several registered professional foresters criticized the report supporting the hazard claims, including Patrick Mulligan, who said the CAL FIRE forester is, quote, "a biased co-worker of Scarlet who was involved with Scarlet before the purchase and who schemed with him to, quote, profit from harvesting the old growth." Other speakers described the tree cutting as a, quote, "illegal and unethical situation," questioned the lack of photos, and implored the commission to, quote, "look into your hearts and be on the right side of history." Returning to the podium, this time with Scarlet, Farmer disputed the accusations and said he's acted responsibly. Scarlet explained why he bought the property, saying, quote, "I acquired this property for my mother. I acquired this property because she's aging and I currently live across the street." And, quote, "I bought it for her so she could live there." He added that falling limbs have crushed vehicles in the past and caused roof damage. But Commissioner Noah Levy said, quote, "at most what would have been justified is to strategically remove certain limbs that could put your house at risk." And he added the evidence of threat is, quote, "very thin." Other commissioners agreed. Commissioner Peggy O'Neill summed up the stakes involved in considering the removal of a 350-year-old plus redwood.
"We're not talking about an apple tree. We're talking about an old growth redwood tree. And I think the burden of proof that it's a danger needs to be pretty high before we agree to take it down, because it's something that's been here long before all of us and will be here probably longer than all of us. There should be a much higher burden of proof. And, you know, I went and hired somebody and they said, it's a risk. And I've already cut down several already because I thought, you know, the limbs were a risk. It's just not high enough proof for me to say, yeah, go ahead and take it. That's how I feel. I just feel like a higher responsibility that we have to make sure that we do make the right decision. And based on what we've been presented, I don't feel like that evidence is high enough yet. And if it changes, that tree starts looking like it's coming down and, you know, then the circumstances change. But right now it doesn't look like it is. And I'm sorry that the other trees went down."
Commissioner Lorna McFarlane agreed and made a motion to deny the permit, quote, "based on the lack of ability to find the tree passes the test of imminent hazard." Commissioner Ivor Skavdal said he's concerned about liability, but after discussion on the possibility of Scarlett reapplying with more thorough evidence, he changed his mind. The commission's vote to deny the permit was unanimous. Scarlett has another county process option to pursue the tree removal, as he can appeal the denial to the Board of Supervisors. In Eureka for KMUD News, this is Daniel Mintz.
In this week's KMUD News Sports Report, Ray Hamill brings us details of all this week's big local sports stories, including who's been named MVP in Big 5 and Little 4 baseball and softball, and why it was a big week for the Humboldt Crabs, all the latest local American Legion baseball news, and what's in store for North Coast Motorsports fans this weekend.
A South Fork junior has been named MVP of the Little 4 in softball after playing a big role in helping lead the Cubs to a second straight conference championship this past spring. Hello and welcome to this week's KMUD News Sports Report. I'm Ray Hamill with HumboldtSports.com. We'll have more on that story in just a moment as we take a look at all of the big local sports stories of the week, including who else has been named MVP in HDNL baseball and softball, why it was an important week for the Humboldt Crabs, all the latest local American Legion baseball news, and what's in store for North Coast Motorsports fans this weekend. But first up, the HDNL announced the conference MVPs and all-league teams in baseball and softball this week, and it was good news for a South Fork junior who is coming off a big spring leading the Cubs to a Little 4 championship. Mackenzie Coleman is a conference MVP in softball for the second straight year. The South Fork team leader played a huge role on the path to success this spring, as the Cubs edged the Hoopa Warriors by just one win for this year's league title. Coleman shared this year's award with co-MVP Montea Colgrove of Hoopa, each of whom enjoyed an outstanding season with their respective teams. Coleman led the Cubs in the pitcher's circle with a 9-1 record and an ERA of 3.21, while also averaging 4.84 at the plate, which was second best on the team behind all-league teammate Haley Shepard. Mackenzie also had a team best 15 doubles as well as 27 RBIs. Her younger sister, Layla Coleman, also was included on this year's all-league team, along with Shepard and teammates Molly Perkins and Mackenzie Brewer. Colgrove was equally impressive for the Hoopa girls, finishing the season with a record of 15-5 in the circle and a very impressive ERA of 0.88. She also had 157 strikeouts in 134 and two-thirds innings. Colgrove's Hoopa teammates Ricky Lipscomb and Angela Hearn also were included on the All-League team, along with Madison Gossie and Tinley Pigeon of Ferndale and St. Bernard's Mackenzie Lemley. The MVP award was also shared in Little 4 baseball, with a pair of senior multi-sport standouts receiving the honour. Ferndale's Tanner Pigeon was named co-MVP along with St. Bernard's Tyler Heinrichs, after each player played an integral role in their respective team's success this spring. St. Bernard's went undefeated in this year's Little 4, with Ferndale placing second. The MVP awards are the second of the year for both Heinrichs and Pigeon, who also earned the honour on the football field. Heinrichs' younger brother Henry Heinrichs was also named to the Little 4 All-League team, along with his St. Bernard's teammates Michael Manzi, Luke Brunton and Braylon Johnson. Ferndale's Cash Mobley and Prescott Langer, South Fork's Travis Way and Mason Bell, and Hoopa's Alan Kane rounded out the All-League team. In the Big 5, a pair of McKinleyville standouts were named MVPs. In softball, senior McKenna Sargent took home the award after leading the Panthers to a league title in what was an exciting and closely fought race for this year's championship. Sargent was a force for her team both at the plate and in the pitcher's circle. Just three wins separated the top four teams in the final conference standings, with McKinleyville edging Fortuna for the pennant. The Panthers had five all-league selections. In addition to Sargent, McKinleyville's Cabela Carper, Leanna Stumpf, Josie Dowd and Laylee Guerrero were also included on the prestigious team, along with Fortuna's Evelyn Little, Haley Thompson and Olivia Hayes, Del Norte's Bella Oriola and Addie Whitford, Eureka's Bailey Brown and Arcata's Peyton Miller. In Big 5 baseball, McKinleyville sophomore Tate Sasso became one of the youngest MVPs in recent history after an outstanding season leading the Panthers to a conference and Charles Lakin tournament championship double. Sasso edged Eureka senior Ty Crawford for the award. Described by head coach Mike Dobrik as his team's Mr. Clutch, Sasso averaged .416 at the plate and had 25 RBIs, 9 doubles, 2 triples and 5 home runs, while Crawford batted .382 with 26 RBIs, 8 doubles, 2 triples and 5 home runs, and he struck out just 5 times all year. On the mound, Sasso finished 5-1 with an ERA of 2.31, 37 strikeouts and 11 walks, while Crawford was 7-2 with an ERA of 1.08 with 82 strikeouts and 17 walks. Joining Sasso on the All-League team are his McKinleyville teammates Bodie Reiniger, Joe Tano, Hunter Carper and Riddim Green. In addition to Crawford, Eureka's Garrett Levitt and Ryder Mitchell each also were included on the All-League team, along with Del North's Ben Shrewsbury and Landon Williams, Arcata's Tanner Keyes and Fortuna's Tanner Franklin. Switching gears, it was a big week for the Humboldt Crabs. The local collegiate baseball club continued its fast start to the summer season with a 3-game sweep over the Rockland Stonecutters over the weekend to go to 12-0. They hit the road this week to open the Pacific Empire League against the Lincoln Potters, taking game 1 3-2 on Tuesday night before suffering their first loss of the campaign by a score of 12-4 on Wednesday night. The Crabs will be back at the Arcata Ballpark this weekend to play 3 games against the AE Express beginning on Friday night. In local American Legion baseball action, meanwhile, the season for the local teams began to heat up this week. The Humboldt Eagles 18Us played the Southern Humboldt 76ers on Monday night and won 10-3. The Eagles are in for a busy weekend of tournament action in Petaluma with 6 games scheduled over 4 days. Closer to home, the Northern Humboldt Giants 17Us are hosting their annual tournament this weekend. The 3-day, 8-team tournament runs from Friday through Sunday and will also feature 3 other local teams, the Southern Humboldt 76ers, the Wild Cactus, and the Humboldt Eagles 17Us. And rounding out another busy week in local sports, North Coast Motorsports fans are getting ready for a busy weekend with back-to-back nights of racing action at the Redwood Acres Raceway. The second racing event of the season will feature the highly anticipated Jim Walker Fair Classic in the late models division on Saturday night, with 2 main events scheduled. And that's this week's KMUD News Sports Report. Until next time, I'm Ray Hamill with HumboldtSports.com.
Here's the latest updates from Caltrans for those traveling around our region this weekend.
This is a Caltrans Sister Juan Road Information Bulletin for Humboldt County State Highways for the week beginning Friday, June 19th. On 36, expect up to 15-minute delays near Carlotta. Slide removal continues west of Grizzly Creek Redwood State Park. Check Caltrans Sister Juan social media for updates. Expect delays west of Maple Grove and at the Butte Creek Bridge. On 101, expect up to 10-minute delays north of the Mendocino County line. Expect delays north of Warwick. On 169, expect up to 15-minute delays near Martins Ferry, near Myers Lane and Miller Lane. On 200, expect up to 10-minute delays near Azalea Avenue. On 211, expect up to 15-minute delays from Singley Road to Van Ness Avenue in Ferndale. On 254, expect delays north of Wyatt. On 255, expect overnight delays in Arcata from K Street to F Street. On 299, expect up to 10-minute delays east of Blue Lake. This is a Caltrans Sister Juan Road Information Bulletin for Lake of Mendocino County State Highways for the week beginning Friday, June 19th. In Lake County on 175, expect delays near Middletown near McKinley Drive on the 22nd. In Mendocino County on 1, expect delays in Point Arena near Main Street. Expect up to 10-minute delays south of Elk. Expect up to 30-minute delays south of Westport at the Blue Speeds Trailhead to the Overlook. Expect delays near the Wages Creek Bridge and near the Juan Creek Bridge. On 20, expect delays west of Willits. On 101, expect overnight delays in Hopalin. Expect delays at the Long Valley Creek Bridge. On 128, expect delays near Greenwood Road on the 25th. On 162, expect up to 10-minute delays from east of US 101 to Covelo. On 175, expect delays east of Hooper Ranch Road. On 271, expect up to 10-minute delays near Dimmock Road. This is a Caltrans Sister Juan Road Information Bulletin for Del Norte County State Highways for the week beginning Friday, June 19th. On 101, expect up to 15-minute delays from Klamath to north of Last Chance Grade and near Hamilton Road. Expect up to 20-minute delays weekdays in Smith River from Rowdy Creek Road to east of Denny Lane. On 199, expect up to 10-minute delays near the Middle Fork Smith River Bridge. For further updates, join us on social media via Caltrans District 1.
That's all for our news broadcast. Thanks for listening. Thanks to our rotation of broadcast engineers, Dennis Marr, Katie Phillips, Bianna Federico, Michael McCaskill, Larry Lashley, and Javier Rodriguez. Also thanks to our reporters for this broadcast, Daniel Mintz and Ray Hamill. KMUD News is now on streaming platforms, including Apple Podcasts and Spotify. You can download our stories and newscasts for offline listening. You can also follow us on social media at KMUD News, including Facebook and Instagram. Do you have issues important to you that deserve more attention? Are there stories we're missing or that you're curious about? You can give us a call at 707-923-2605 or send an email to news@kmud.org. Redwood Community Radio Incorporated is funded by Press Forward, the national movement to strengthen communities by reinvigorating local news. Learn more at pressforward.news. Redwood Community Radio acknowledges that its transmitter sites are located on the unceded territory of the Sikyon, Wailaki, Wiat, Wilcut, and Kato people. We honor ancestors past, present, and emerging, and acknowledge the ongoing cultural, spiritual, physical connection that these tribes have to the region. I'm April Lewis. Have a good weekend, and stay tuned in.